Locked On NBA, the biggest stories, the local experts. Every Monday, we dig into the biggest stories in the NBA with the Locked On Podcast Network hosts. With the NBA season right around the corner, preseason beginning already, we look at two of the favorites for the NBA championship. The Brooklyn Nets, why can they win it? What needs to go wrong for them not to win it? And the defending champions, the Milwaukee Bucks, how can they repeat? And what things do they need to look out for in their quest for back-to-back titles? It's all coming up, the biggest stories with the local experts on Locked On NBA.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another week of Locked On NBA. I am your Monday host, Josh Lloyd. I'm also the host of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, and I'm the lead analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. Just want to thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen every day, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. We're going to talk NBA championship. We're going to talk the very pointy end of things by looking at the Bucks and looking at the Nets and looking at what they need to do to win the title. So let's get to it. All right, let's bring him in now. One of the hosts of the Locked On Nets podcast, Doug Norrie, is here with me. Doug, now on today's show, what we're looking at is the best teams in the NBA and why we should be excited about them, why the fans should have hope they're going to win the title. We'll get to that in just a second. But I guess this does tie in. Kyrie Irving's unvaccinated status, which will cause him to miss 43 games, I believe, because of the two Knicks games at Madison Square Garden, minimum. How does that... Do you expect that to remain the case all season? And how does that impact the Nets' upside as a title team?
Well, he's impossible to predict because that's kind of been the theme for him since he's... been in the NBA / been with the Nets, and it's been mostly good, but there have been times where it's been really tough to predict. I hate to be like Kyrie and just kind of sidestep the question, but I would have thought he would have done it by now, just seeing sort of what the writing on the wall was in terms of the teams. I think that it will probably be handled by the time we get to that point, because I just don't think it'd be crazy to think that this was a hill that he died on for not playing games. But I will say, in terms of overall expectation for the team, if you look at Bet Online, their odds really on the Nets championship have not moved, and everyone, bettors and book alike, are totally aware what the situation is, and their odds have barely moved on it. So I'll just use that as the proxy to say, as of right now, it is not impacting it that much.
Yeah, that's true. Like, they are overwhelming favorites, and do you think that sometimes Vegas and odds makers have some sort of inside knowledge or are banking on something happening? I tend to think that they are thinking the way that you are and that I am here, in that Kyrie will end up getting vaccinated and will find a way to play in these Nets home games and, more importantly, in the home games throughout the playoffs. So I don't think it's going to be that long-term concern that's going to derail the Nets and their championship aspirations. Of course, they played the first preseason game today. We won't dwell too much on that because it's very hard to judge when so many players were out. But in terms of this team, they are, as we've mentioned, according to betonline.ag and every other place you can find, but BetOnline is the place where you need to place your betting action, of course, Doug. They are the overwhelming favorites. They didn't make the conference finals last season. We know why. We know there was Kyrie injuries. We know there was Harden injuries. We know there was a foot on the line, all that sort of stuff. So, two-part question. Are the Nets deserved favorites for the NBA championship? Do you think that is a title that they should have? And what brings them not one step, but two steps further than where they finished last season?
Yeah, I think that their overall team construction this year is better. And if you're just like trying to check the boxes off of what's going to have them go further, one, this has already been litigated, so I probably don't need to spend too much time. If Kyrie and or Harden is not hurt, they're at least in the finals. I don't think that doesn't seem like it's under too much debate at this point. I think most would agree that last year, if they just avoid one of those things, they probably are another step forward. So you can't project health all the time like that. But I think that if they were to go in with even 50% better health than they had last year, they're clearly the runaway favorites in terms of just overall team construction. And then when you look at the way they're just constructed, they're not built to be a defensive team, but the offense is so overwhelming when those three guys are on the court together that honestly slotting in any other two players creates massive problems for just about everybody else when you talk about a five-man rotation, whether it's Joe Harris, whether it's Blake Griffin, whether it's LaMarcus Aldridge. Like, the names on this team are so much deeper than they were last season of veteran Patty Mills, like a veteran talent that they kind of just were lacking near the end. They were such a they really had nothing at the end last year. Like, Jeff Green was hurt, Harden was hurt, Kyrie was hurt. They were on absolute fumes when it came, and they still almost made it. And so if there's any situation where that just doesn't happen this year and they go in mostly healthy, they're just so far and away the favorite here based on the hierarchy of scoring, based on who they have at the top of the pecking order, that, again, I know I'm speaking somewhat in generalities, but it's just, the team is so good. I mean, this team is absolutely loaded.
They are. And you're right. That team that lost to Milwaukee, you add Kyrie in there, you add a healthy Harden. Yeah, Jeff Green's no longer with the team, but you replace him with LaMarcus Aldridge, who wasn't there. You add Paul Millsap in as well into that front court mix, who has not the all-star level starter that he used to be, but as a bench big, he's one of the best in the business and was, I think, pretty solid for most of the year for Denver last season, just giving you options. Yeah, Patty Mills coming in to replace the minutes you were getting from Mike James and Tyler Johnson. Like, it's a gigantic upgrade there as well. So it is hard to find, outside of saying injuries, like what the reason is this Nets team can't progress to the NBA Finals. So things can happen at any point and there can be weird stuff that goes down. You can't discount injuries. You can't predict them, but you can't discount that could be something that derails. It could derail any team, but this is the team that is going to be the overwhelming favorite for the majority of the season. If you had to point to something, though, Doug, that wasn't injury-related, like what could go wrong? Is it the fact that Aldridge, Griffin, Millsap, that they're 1 year older, as everyone is, but they just are not rotation players anymore? Is that the one sort of pressure point with this team? Is it depth, even though they've improved by bringing in Mills and then drafting Cam Thomas? Like, what is the one thing that could be that that fracture in this team pushing towards a championship?
I mean, if the Kyrie thing keeps going, that's definitely a problem. And I don't think, again, it's such a long season that I think it works out. But if that becomes this weird talking point for the whole season, then that could cause dividing lines. Because one thing you know about KD and Harden, like these guys, I mean, specifically Durant, he's so focused on winning that I could see that if there were things that started impeding winning like this, like non-basketball, I'm going to call this a non-basketball related thing, a non-basketball related thing that was starting to impede the desire or the ability to win, I could see that causing a fracture. Again, I don't think it's going to, but that could be it. I hate to like sidestep this question, but they're so loaded that they can actually withstand multiple things like this actually happening. Like if Millsap isn't as good, they just have two other, and they're not exact proxies for each other. All three of these guys played pretty differently, like Blake and LMA and Millsap. Their games are predicated on slightly different things, but they can withstand age regression a little bit on all three and still be fine because there's two other ones. You know, they have James Johnson kind of hanging around there too. You mentioned Cam Thomas, like they have microwave bench scoring, it looks like, possibly, that they just didn't have at all last season, just to be able to keep these other guys with gas in the tank during the season. So I really don't know what one thing could happen. Like this team, I think it goes the other way. I actually think it's been sort of underreported how good the team is.
That's true.
Like I think if anything,
they're better than
anything,
last year.
Oh my God. If anything, this team is so much better that people don't seem to be actually factoring it. And I'm not a front runner like this. I really don't. I'm usually glass half empty around stuff like this, but it really is hard to find cracks in this anywhere, to the point where if they even wanted to, and I don't think they will, they could put like 70 wins up. That's how good I think the team is. That's how deep they are, how good everyone is on the team, how functional they are. Can act like sort of on their own too if they need to be. All three guys can act in accordance with each other or independently. We've seen that. Like Harden can carry like a 50 plus win team sort of on his own. And so anyway, I just think if anything, people might not be recognizing just how much better this team is than last year because it's kind of hard to picture.
Last question for you. Who is the player that they can least afford to lose to injury? Is it, now, I think it's between Harden and Durant. Which one hurts them most?
Definitely Durant. I mean, Durant last year, what he did last in specifically in the Bucks, if his toe isn't on the line, it's a non-debate about who the best player in basketball is. And it's only because the toe is on the line that, you know, the door stayed open just a little bit, because he was so overwhelming in that series when it needed to go on his shoulders. Like, historic levels of performance. The usage was unbelievable. He played every single minute for multiple games. Really, no one does that at this point. And so with a defensive responsibility that was not just, you know, a perimeter defensive responsibility, they played him. They had to play him sort of interior minutes at times just because he was sort of their second biggest wing. I think that he's another one where we would be having a totally different conversation if he wears a size, you know, 16 instead of 17 or whatever he wears on his feet. Like, this conversation I think also would be over, but they left the door open. So I think Durant, you just can't lose him. It'd be a really good team even without him, but he's the thing that makes it. He's so versatile. Just like, what is he? At worst, is he the second best player in basketball? This is kind of the debate you're having around Durant.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're right. I think it is. Now, Harden obviously sets up an offense with his passing ability, but I think Durant is the correct answer there. But imagine having a situation where you don't have to imagine. You've got a team where you've got that decision of which one is, you know, the best player on your team, when every other team pretty much would be killing for either of those guys and even Kyrie right. to be on their squad. Doug, that'll do it for us today. Of course, anything Nets related, if you want to hear all the Cam Thomas talk after his big preseason outing today, Doug is going to have that covered for you over on the Locked On Nets podcast. Doug, thanks for coming on Locked On NBA with me.
All right, Josh, thanks a lot.
If you're looking to get into fantasy basketball, bring your friends in who might not play fantasy basketball. Sleeper is the app that you need to try. Sleeper is brand new for fantasy basketball with their exciting way of playing, and that is their game pick format. Much like fantasy football, your players only play one game per week. So you get to choose which game they play using their points only format. So you get Sleeper, get your friends, get a league started. Download the app. It is super easy to use. The draft interface is fantastic. The way that it all looks, the display, keeper, dynasty, redraft leagues, third round reversal in their formats. Sleeper has everything you would need for fantasy basketball, especially if you're in a beginner type situation. So download the Sleeper app. Try their one-of-a-kind game pick formula. Get your friends involved in a league and enjoy the NBA season coming up real soon. This is a familiar situation for many. You've got live sports you watch somewhere, on-demand shows in another area, and another situation to help you watch your highlights on your phone, and then you get login from someone else to watch another bunch of shows. It's all over the place. I'm getting confused just thinking about it. I want to tell you about a simple way you can get all that entertainment that you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together, and that is DirecTV Stream. It brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remote, and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there is no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required and content varies by package. All right, so let's bring him in now. The host of the Locked On Bucks podcast. Sorry, the host of the NBA champion Locked On Bucks podcast. Giannis's best mate, Immigration Minister Giannis Antetokounmpo, asking for this man to be back in the United States covering the Bucks. It is, of course, Kane Pittman. Kane, welcome to Locked On NBA.
Yeah, well, there were some jokes that a couple of days later, there was some changes to the international travel rules in Australia. So there are some people that are crediting Giannis for that, but we'll see. I don't know when I'll get back or if it's going to happen this season, but for now, fortunately, we can still cover him from a distance.
So what we are doing today is looking at good teams, and the Bucks are obviously a good team. They won the NBA championship last season. So Kane, you are here to tell me, in the most basic of terms, I guess, why are the Bucks and why are Bucks fans expecting a second championship? Why are you going to win again, back to back?
I think the two easiest reasons to say why you should feel confident the Bucks are going to have success this year is continuity with your superstars, no changeover at the top of the roster, and then secondly, no drama. I think we look around at some of these other teams around the league, and there's always the threat of some potential drama, particularly when you look at the teams at the top of the East, and it's just not something, even in previous years, that you've associated with the Bucks, with their star players. Pretty low key. They go about their business. They are fine with deferring to each other and just no drama, I think, is one of the top characteristics of this team.
Yeah, exactly. You've got the situation, obviously, in Philadelphia with Ben Simmons, and who knows when and how that's going to get resolved. You've got Kyrie Irving. in Brooklyn, and we have no idea what's happening there, whether he's going to be able to play half the games or not. Whereas the Bucks come in as defending champions, basically as the same squad. Like, there's not a huge amount that's changed. A few things on the periphery. They won't have Dante DiVincenzo to begin the season, but they didn't have him to end the season. So you could argue they've made upgrades to their bench with George Hill and Grayson Allen in there. PJ Tucker is going to be a little bit of a loss for them, but he wasn't really a regular season contributor anyway. So it is going to be interesting to see that the difference between having that team, you're going at it again and coming back. Now, some people, and we had this discussion earlier when I talked with Locked On Nets about the Nets, and if they weren't injured, it could be assumed that they probably would have knocked off the Bucks in round two, and then we wouldn't necessarily be having this conversation here, Kane, saying, oh, the Bucks are champions, how are they going to repeat? So it's not an absolute lock that they are the best team, or they were. Well, they obviously won the championship, but were they the best team? So what can they do to get better to, I guess, not eliminate that doubt? That's the wrong thing, because I'm not discrediting their championship, because it's obviously fully deserved and they were awesome. But do they have to take it a little bit further this season?
Well, it'll be interesting. I think one of the main storylines that follow almost every champion, I'm not saying every champion, but you do have to have some luck at the right end of the season. So I don't think that it was too abnormal that was the case. And certainly in the Brooklyn series, there was some luck there. I think it's interesting going back to last season, because the Bucks really schematically on both ends of the floor changed things up big time, because they realized that the way that they were playing the same way every single night, very good during the regular season, you can beat a team one off, but they'll fall short in the postseason. So probably the area where I think they can improve even more is defensively during the regular season, tighten things up. They were trying different schemes last year. They were switching more than they ever had before. They went to small ball lineups. So I think that this year you could probably expect them to be a little bit more consistent, and perhaps they'll enter the playoffs more obviously assured of the way that they play can hold up in the postseason. But I just think that they'll be better prepared. So I actually thought last year was a little bit experimental with some of the things that they were trying. It didn't necessarily always work. And they kind of had to get to the playoffs and then find out on the run whether it was actually going to work. This year, they'll go in there knowing that what they've done worked on the biggest stage, even when they had their backs up against the wall.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask you. Having that confidence after the end of the 1920 season, losing to Miami in the bubble and being like, oh man, we're the best team in the NBA, like, why did this happen? And then coming out and then now having that confidence to go, well, we can beat whoever, like, we'll go out there and we'll win, and we've got that experience now. And having that confidence, do you think that is a big factor for them, knowing that whatever the situation, whether you're down in a series against the all-powerful Brooklyn Nets, they can come back and beat them, whether you can win when your star goes down with a knee injury like Giannis did in the playoffs, that having that confidence is something that they're going to hold in good stead?
Well, it really felt like they conquered all the demons, because even the first round, I know they swept Miami and that series was a bit of a nothing series in the end. But coming in, everyone thought, well, this is the Bucks facing their demons right away. They took care of business there. And then after that, not only 2-0 down against Brooklyn, 2-0 down against Phoenix in the NBA Finals as well. So, and a game 7 on the road in that second round against Brooklyn. So they really ticked all the boxes. And I think perhaps one of the underrated confidence boosts that they'll get is the wins that they had on the road. They actually never had home court advantage after the first round against Miami. So, look, I that's one of the unrecordables. I don't know how you really, project what that's going to mean for this team moving forward, but there's no doubt they have to feel good about the fact that they were basically 1 foot out of the postseason on multiple occasions and found a way back.
I asked this to the Nets earlier on, so I asked this to you now. So what's the thing that, injury aside, what's the thing that can go wrong? Like, if Giannis goes down goes down in week one and doesn't play for the rest of the season, look, that's obviously, you're not going to be easy. But assuming a regular level of health for the star players, what's something that goes wrong that doesn't allow them to get back to, say, bare minimum Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah, I think the one thing that stands out to me, and I don't necessarily expect that this is going to be the case, but I do think we have to keep an eye on the age of a couple of the players. So Brook Lopez being one, and George Hill, as you mentioned, because I think as you currently look at the rotation, they still figure to be really, really important to everything the Bucks are doing. George Hill can unlock different defensive lineups, massive upgrade from what they had at backup point guard last year. And then at the center position, if Brook Lopez has lost a little bit, I don't think so. I mean, we saw him in the postseason. He looked great. I think he's a guy you can manage through the regular season. But if he loses a step or isn't as agile defensively or isn't a top-level rim protector as he's been the last few seasons, then you're falling back on either Giannis playing at the five or Bobby Portis. And so I think the big man stocks is where you look at it and say, well, hopefully Brook Lopez is still the same guy. Hopefully Giannis stays healthy because the depth isn't quite there, even though they do have a roster spot. And I expect they'll try and make an addition at some point.
Maybe Bucks legend Johnny O'Brien will take that spot. He's back in camp. Kane, maybe he can fill in that backup center role with that last roster spot. You never know, after the old Bucks fans probably just getting some PTSD from the old Jason Kidd starting Johnny O'Brien moments back whenever it was, 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, whenever it was. But that's still burned into my head, remembering those lineups that he was trotting out there. Okay, is there any, last question, any concern about the long playoff run / Olympics for Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton?
Maybe. But I think that if you're the Bucks, and this is all the messaging we got out of them through media day, is that they're very aware of it. So I think coming into the season, they probably expect that they're going to try and keep these guys' minutes down. They might have a couple of nights off. They've already indicated with Giannis carrying a little bit of knee soreness that they're not going to mess around with that. They're saying that he's not going to miss the start of the season, but if he misses the start of the season, I don't think they'll be losing any sleep over it. I think they still believe that even with one guy missing or a couple of guys missing on any given night, they'll be able to beat the majority of the teams in the Eastern Conference. So I think they feel pretty confident that they'll be able to manage this. I think if they came in, and this is why I've had people ask me, do you think the Bucks will be going to, you know, 60 wins, 65 wins? And I say no, because it doesn't make sense for them to do that. I think they'll play it smart and play it careful and try and build towards the postseason.
Well, Kane, Mike Budenholzer doesn't need any encouragement to limit his players' minutes and play a large rotation, so that should be fine throughout the regular season. Yeah. All Buck stuff you're going to have covered for us. Mamu watch, Johnny O'Brien watch, whatever we need to cover, Kane, over on Locked On Bucks, you'll have it for us 5 days a week. Thank you for coming on Locked On NBA with me and chatting about the defending NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks.
Love it, mate. Anytime. Thank you.
Built Bar. It is the best tasting protein bar ever. If you had Built Bar before, or if you haven't, you're missing out. These are unbelievable. They taste just like candy bars. Cookies and cream flavor, orange flavor, strawberry, raspberry, mint, brownie. And if you don't know what your favorite is, you'll figure it out pretty quickly. But if you don't know, get yourself a mixed box. You get all of those flavors in the one box, 2 of each, so you get to try them. But not only are these delicious, they're protein bars. They don't taste like protein bars. They taste like candy bars. But they're also good for you. 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. Go to built.com, use our promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Promo code is LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. And that will do it for today's episode. Don't forget to follow this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on the Odyssey app. And you can also find us on YouTube. Locked On NBA is over there. My show, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, is there. And all of our team shows. If your team's not there, it's coming really soon over on YouTube as well. Thanks again for making us your first listen every day. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.